No Night is Too Long, written by Barbara Vine and read by Alex Jennings, Shelley Thompson, and Samuel West.
Tim. Chapter 1. Outside, a high wind is blowing and making the sea rough. It's a long time since I saw such big waves breaking on this grey, pebbly shore. The sea is a pale brown, the colour of weak coffee with a little milk in it, a phenomenon caused by sand stirred up into the water. Even on fine summer days, the sea is brownish here, seldom blue and clean. Soon it will be dark, and I shall no longer be able to see these colours, such as they are, the dirty coffee brown and the grey. Out there, by night, the sea and the beach become invisible, and only the road can be seen, lit by the lamps, the road and the sea wall. Beyond the wall might be a town or fields, but for the sound of the sea, its withdrawing roar and rattle of stones and the crash it makes as the wave returns and breaks. But for these sounds, anything might be spread out beyond the wall, even a dark fjord with an island in its midst, a pair of eagles in the top of a tree, the forked tail of a humpback whale rising out of the waters. Who knows what may be anywhere when you can't see? I'm writing these things down to get me into the way of writing, to make a start. But I see that what I've done is bring myself back to the stuff of my dreams, those dreams I'm attempting to escape from. All roads, it seems, lead to the island. And as time passes, they do so more directly and insistently, not less. I'm writing this down in the hope of blocking those roads, of turning them into cul-de-sac and signposting them no through way. To block, not to be cured. I'm not so innocent nor so optimistic as to believe that. I'm not innocent at all. It's laughable to use that word about myself. And I don't believe that any therapy, my own or that administered by someone else, can take away this burden, this fearful remorse. I don't believe what someone said, that the writer is the only free man, because once he has set down his pain, his shame, and the sorrow of his heart, he will be rid of it forever. I believe only, or tell myself that I do, that once I see it before me on the page, in black and white, as they say, then the dreams will go away. Isn't it inconceivable that when the material of those dreams is laid out in precise lines of print, it will still go on being rendered back to me pictorially by night? The dreams will go, and I shall see the rest in what they call perspective. Why do I keep writing as they say, what they call? Must be because I have been daily farther and farther removed from the world of reality, so that I question these useful words and handy catchphrases. Because they are people alien from myself, happy people who sleep without dreaming and use words without thinking, who have no need to analyse everything they and others do and say. Yet would I be writing at all but for the letters which have been coming now for a long time? Letters aren't really what they are, gratuitous pieces of information, accounts of historical events, stories, only they're true, at least I think so. Happenings, all with a common theme, and, though interesting enough to most people, peculiarly germane only to me. Relevant to me alone, and therefore sinister. Therefore menacing. Such communications don't arrive in a vacuum. They don't happen and then cease to happen without consequence, without sequel. They portend something more. Something to follow, and perhaps not just printed matter that comes through the post. So better write it down now, while I have the chance. This seems to be the place to insert the first one, the first castaway extract. Here it is. Alexander Selkirk, called Selkirk, a bad-tempered man, while on a voyage to America, quarrelled with his captain on the grounds of the latter's alleged incompetence. Selkirk believed that the ship on which they sailed was about to sink due to inefficient maintenance. He asked to be put ashore on the nearest island, confident that others on board would choose to be exiled with him. However, none did, and he was marooned alone. He had been right. The ship sank. But this was of little comfort to Selkirk in his predicament.